Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you on this Friday, February 20th, 2026. Hope everybody's had a great week. Bill Buckmaster, along with my buddy Brendan Kraft, engineering and producing the show. I'm sure Brendan will have some terrific bump music, as we say, in between segments. He always comes up with a lot of terrific stuff. Welcome to the program from the Central Tucson Green Things and Zocalo Village Studios, part of the Bustos Media Center. We're on 1030 KVOI, Tucson's trusted voice for live news and talk. This, of course, our weekly edition now of the show. We're here each Friday, noon to one, as we continue with the show tradition that began 15 years ago. We'll have our worldwide live listening and our podcast at our newly redesigned website, buckmastershow.com. Some fun stuff there, including my new travel blog that is up now at buckmastershow.com. Our first blog was our recent trip over to Palm Springs. When we do our telephone interviews, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, a couple of our media partners I'd like to acknowledge, TucsonSentinel.com and the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Each Friday, we bring in a media friend, a co-host. Today, it's Joe Ferguson, former Arizona Daily Star reporter, now editor of the growing and very popular online news service, Tucson Agenda. Hey, Joe, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Always a pleasure. Our Friday Focus interview today, United States Representative from Arizona's 7th Congressional District, Democrat Adelita Grijalva, who was finally sworn into office. She waited. November the 12th, 2025, almost a month after winning a special election to succeed her dad, Raul Grijalva, who died in office last year. Adelita, Congresswoman, great to see you again.
Nice to see you. Thanks for having me.
Speaking of your dad, yesterday was his 77th birthday.
Yeah, his birthday yesterday.
Kind of sad, right?
It is. A lot of my friends who've lost parents say that the firsts are really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it was. It was very hard.
Did you have his favorite cake?
I did. It was so sweet. I went to go visit Douglas, and the very first meeting I went, they're like, "We bought you a little chocolate cake for your dad." I'm like, "Ugh." So yeah, it was very sweet. And then I just left Pueblo Gardens, went to read there and do a little presser about the Right to Read Act, and the librarian there is like, "I bought you a chocolate cake."
Oh.
I'm like, "Ugh, yes." It's very sweet. Everyone's been very kind. Even people who are not so kind to me normally opted not to say anything, which I appreciate. But yeah, and then, you know, it's been a difficult little road here.
Here's Joe Ferguson.
So, hi, Joe.
We write a lot about your trip to Florence. I want to learn a little bit more about what you saw firsthand. I mean, talking to somebody who is old enough to be my grandmother in detention since May. What did that look like? And what did you come away with?
Well, we had to ask a 7-day advance because that is the arbitrary number that Kristi Noem has put on every member of Congress in order to conduct their, I think, required. We're required and obligated to do oversight. So we did. We followed all the rules and were able to go in. They gave us a tour, walked around the whole facility. It's an institution, and it's a pretty well-established one in Eloy. So it was clean, and it's a jail. Mm-hmm. So I was able to have a chat with La Abuela, and she's just a very kind woman, very sweet, very confused. Mm-hmm. And from what we understand from her family, she walked in on her own 2 feet into the institution, and now she's in a wheelchair, and she's much more confused than she had been before. I just know from the conversation we had, which was about half an hour, that her timeline is a little confusing, and she thought she was going to be there for 5 days, is what she was told. And so here we are months later, and she is one of the people that I think is really suffering under this administration's blanket denials. And so they're just saying no to everybody. And then you get an attorney and then you fight and have several, you know, different kinds of hearings and that kind of thing. And then you get the opportunity to get bonded out. So we're going to stay on top of this one because what the medical professionals there that are DHS employees said that they have seen a notable increase in the number of people that are over 65. And that tracks with the information that, you know, we've been provided as members of Congress. And they're not prepared necessarily to deal with an influx of people who have ailments related to their age. Mm-hmm. So it's problematic. And I do think that we have to continue to look for more like humanitarian relief and releases. And I just don't, I can't fathom what this 80-year-old grandmother has the kind of security risk she is to our nation.
That and she has been there since May. Right. Is this pretty typical that people are being stay there for six months to a year or longer?
I asked, you know, and it really just depends on the individual, is my understanding. You know, if people self-deport, we were also able to sit in on a hearing. And so of an individual that is not my constituent, and so I don't feel like I can share too much, but one of the requests is like he indicated, I will self-deport, but I want to go back to this country, not alternative country. Mm-hmm. I have family in this country, which is my home country. And even with that request, the DHS representative, the attorney representing DHS said, you know, we'll do this country A, but also country B is an option. And it's like, well, then I'm not going to deport because then we'll just keep fighting because he's married to a citizen, has three children who are citizens. And so his, you know, one of the arguments was your crime is coming into this country without proper documentation. Do you remember that? Or when was that? He's like, I don't know. I was a kid. I came with my parents. So there's a lot of that disconnect. And when you talk to some of the people there, their crime is a civil crime. It's not criminal. And so the vast majority of people had permission to be working in this country. And now
I thought this was all supposed to be about violent criminals. And some surveys and statistics have indicated that very few of the people who've actually been rounded up have been violent criminals.
Of any crime, right.
So do you think the tide may be turning as far as the way folks are viewing this, that things have gone too far?
Well, you know what I was encouraged to hear is that some of my colleagues, Arizona representatives that are Republican, have also come to visit the facility. So I hope that they didn't just do the tour, but that they actually sat down and spoke to a constituent because every single one of us have constituents that are there. And I think it's important to understand why they're still there, what is happening in their case, and whether, you know, they're going to have the option to self-deport or have the option to be able to bond it out and go back to their family and continue to work while they go through this process. The blanket denials are very concerning.
Joe.
The former prison in Marana that's likely to be turned into an ICE detention center has been a source of frustration for locals. Marana says they can't control it. The Board of Supervisors says they don't have any role to play in this other than providing maybe some health services. You've gotten involved recently. Are you optimistic that you can have some kind of outcome in this issue?
Well, we're trying as a region, like the Democratic representatives in Congress, to push back on the fact that we don't think that they should be able to purchase buildings and property without having consultation with the community. Our understanding is they didn't have any of that. And so now you're getting this pushback. And the fact that it's one thing to be in a detention facility that was designed to be a detention facility. It's quite another one to pop up one, like a tent city that doesn't have the infrastructure, doesn't have the plumbing, the facilities of any kind, showers, those kind of things. I mean, think about the concerns that I have are some of the things that we've heard about these disposition centers where people are going there and staying anywhere from 24 hours to 3 or 4 weeks without any showers, restrooms, sleeping on concrete floors. And that's the kind of facility that they're talking about in this warehouse. I'm very concerned about it, as are my Democratic colleagues.
So ICE is still being funded. It's kind of confusing because we have this shutdown. And of course, if you go to the airport, the people at TSA are not being paid again. But is ICE is funded still, correct?
Oh, they received a significant influx, $170 billion in the big ugly bill.
Yeah.
And so I believe they still have $70
billion. So what's the shutdown about?
The shutdown is really about the fact that the Republicans don't want to put any safeguards in to address the concerns that we see with ICE. I used to say they're a rogue agency. I don't believe that anymore. I think that they are doing exactly what they're designed to do, which is cause a lot of fear and chaos in communities, a lot of intimidation. And so some of the basics are you can't wear a mask. You have to have a judicial warrant. You have to like honor a due process. There's some really basic fundamentals. You have to allow oversight in detention and through the process. Right now, DHS can say, we're not allowing you to come in. It doesn't matter. I mean, they could have, in theory, when I got there to the facility, say, no, we're not letting you in. Mm. I mean, they can. They're not allowed to legally, but they do. They're not even, the courts have said that members of Congress do not have to do this 7-day wait period. The day after that court hearing and that court decision, Christine Ohm said, nope, 7 days. So now we're abiding by those 7 days because otherwise they don't open the door.
What do you think, Joe?
I just wonder, you know, that it's not just, you know, people who have immigration issues before them. Bill or I could be inside one of those facilities detained for hypothetical reasons of interfering with law enforcement for doing what we do and have been doing for decades.
Right.
And so, you know, I have some concerns about, you know, just Fourth Amendment violations at the end of the day for just everybody, not just people who have immigration issues.
Yeah. The likelihood of you being in that facility, though, I mean, you might be detained, but maybe not in that facility. And that's what concerns me. There's several of these pop-ups that you sort of ask, like, can I get a tour of these facilities? And so one is run by the marshals. One is run by DHS. Another is run by contractors. I mean, they're sort of this piecemeal. And ultimately, who's winning are the private contractors that own these facilities and are making a lot of money by keeping people detained.
All right, let's talk about one of my favorite sponsors. Adelita Grijalva is with us. Adelita, I want to talk about El Cisne, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They are a wonderful Mexican restaurant. They're new to our program. We're delighted to have them on board. They have a beautiful multicultural fine dining atmosphere. Many regions of Mexico are represented in their cuisine. Not only do they have a wonderful restaurant, but they have terrific catering. In fact, we used them for a New Year's Eve party this year, and everybody was raving about the food. They are open daily for lunch and dinner, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Here's another nice thing, that if you want them to do some catering, they'll do the setup and the cleanup, and they will have, they'll host it, they'll bring their own attendants. So if you're having them set up and take care of all of this in your home, you don't have to worry about it. You can enjoy your guests and let El Cisne do the rest. El Cisne, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. The Buckmaster Show. Today, our newsmaker interview with Adelita Grijalva, Congresswoman, and we have Joe Ferguson with us. He's my guest media co-host on the Friday program, Joe from Tucson Agenda. Be right back. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Be sure your voice is heard as part of the March 10th mail-in elections on Props 418 and 410 for regional transportation improvements and funding for the next 20 years. Check your mailbox for your ballot. The proposed improvements, if approved, will reduce congestion and support cleaner air, enhance network reliability, safety, and efficiency. You will continue to pay the same tax rate as you do now if both props are approved. Don't forget to mail your ballot by March 3rd to arrive by March 10th and be heard. Learn more at rtanext.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Travel is in my DNA. When I'm ready to start another adventure, my trip begins and ends at our local airport, Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. TUS, where it's made easy to fly. Start planning now for your next air adventure by visiting flytucson.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our weekly edition. We're here each Friday, noon to one on KVOI, and our newsmaker interview this week, our Friday Focus interview, Adelita Grijalva, Democrat representing Arizona's 7th Congressional District. Joe Ferguson is here from Tucson Agenda. He is my media co-host. We do that each Friday. Adelita has been back in Washington now since she was official. Well, actually, she was back waiting before she was officially sworn in November the 12th of 2025. She was back there for a couple of weeks waiting. Hey, guys, when are we going to make this happen?
Right.
So what's it like now living in D.C.? And, of course, you were very familiar with that with your dad. You went back a lot. But
I didn't, really.
Really? Mm-mm. You didn't really go back?
No, because when my dad went, we were all adults. I got married the next year after he was elected. So, we were all grown. So yeah. My sister graduated with her master's and moved up there with him.
So kind of occasionally.
Yeah, I think maybe 5 times.
Yeah.
And 3 of the times I was lobbying either for TUSD or Pima County. So
right, yeah.
No, we didn't really, I didn't get to hang out. And I think that's the misperception is people say, well, your dad was in Congress. I'm like,
yeah, so
yes,
you know,
for
most,
22 years. And
they assumed you knew,
yeah,
knew
like,
the ropes.
You wouldn't
right.
say that if my dad was a pilot and
yeah.
just throw me in a cockpit and go,
right,
go,
right,
have fun.
Right.
So that's sort of what people had been doing, which I thought was interesting. But I've learned a lot. It's been 3 months.
Yeah.
Waiting 50 days, breaking a record for waiting the longest, which mm-hmm. is crazy. But I think it gave me an opportunity you sort of have to see the silver lining in that I was able to read a lot of legislation. And the day after I was sworn in, I think broke that record of signing, co-sponsoring almost 60 pieces of legislation, like all of a sudden, signed a bunch of discharge petitions. And
gave you a chance to settle in a bit.
It's a very odd time that I'm sure I will maybe write about at some point in my life.
Yeah.
But we're finally, both the offices here in district and our resources are getting out. We're fully staffed. It's been about 3 weeks that we've been fully staffed. So I'm happy about that.
Good.
Yeah.
Here's Joe Ferguson, and then we will go to caller Matt after this this question from Joe.
So there's a lot going on in the news, but I want to learn a little bit more about one of the bills you introduced, the Right to Read bill, and why you did it and why now.
Well, it's the second bill that I put forward. The first one was Save Oak Flat. I think that was very telling too. But I am the daughter, sister, and wife of librarians. Libraries have always been a really critical part of my life. And having served on the school board for 20 years, the frustration for me was always the state's direction when they cut back on funding. And, you know, we're 49th. We hover between 49th and 50th in the nation in public education funding. So when the state would cut back, the direction was always your cut should come as far away from the classroom as possible. Libraries, arts, music, PE were always on the chopping block. And this bill would provide $600 million total for school libraries, specifically in high-need communities. And Arizona CD7 has many. It will ensure culturally relevant books that make sense for the communities that are going, that the grant money goes into, for adult literacy, for certified librarians, and protecting our librarians and teachers when there are attacks over, censorship that I think, a lot of people feel like they don't want our next generation to learn about our history because it makes them uncomfortable. Well, that's how we prevent those things from happening again. It's like, let's examine what we've done as a nation and as communities. And so I think it's really important. And I'm hoping that we can get some movement going forward, because I think it would be a really good piece of legislation for the nation.
Let's go to our live line. And the live line is presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. We've got caller Matt on the live line. Hey, Matt.
Yeah. Hey, Congresswoman Grijalva, this one really isn't, your responsibility. But the question involves, can you tell us what you know about some of the issues that are involving federal relationship to the state? The governor passed a budget, and in that budget that she proposed, she expects to receive almost $1 billion, about $800 million, in reimbursement for the costs related to border security and other activities. Also, there's parts of the federal budget that are holding up our state taxes because of the discussion between the legislature in the state and the governor. Any thoughts on any of that? Thank you.
Thanks, Matt. Okay, go ahead.
I think it's the dysfunction of our federal government right now, and we see how it's a cog in the wheel of how our states and local communities can address the needs here locally. So I had a question of about a reporter about IRS accidentally leaking information from tax filings to DHS. So it's those kinds of things. When that kind of stuff happens, you just have a lot of angst and insecurity about what's really happening in our government. And I believe part of my job and all of us as elected officials, especially federal, is that we're supposed to make it easier to understand what's happening. And so much of what goes on right now is behind the scenes, and then we hear about it later. Mm-hmm. We don't get a lot of direct communication. So you would think that we would be the first to hear things, but 9 times out of 10, it's somebody, a journalist, that is sharing that.
I want to talk about the big story of the day, and that would be the Supreme Court saying the tariffs are unconstitutional. Your reaction, Adelita Grijalva?
Trump is not a king. He cannot unilaterally make decisions without having consequences. And so I'm glad that the Supreme Court pushed back, because those tariffs have been devastating for our local economies, our national economy. So many small businesses are closing up because they don't know how much their products are going to cost. They can't buy in bulk in the kind of way that would make it make sense for some of these mom and pop stores, restaurants, a lot of service industries. And we see what is happening throughout our country is that these small community, like little restaurants and nail salons, that we see them closing up because there is no way to account for when customers are going to come back. Mm-hmm. And the cost of everything is so high that they cannot absorb it. So they have to increase their costs for that plate of food, for that service, for the mercantile, like all of those things, everything is going up. So this at least will provide some stability for our business community so they can start to make plans about what they'll be able to afford and not afford. Trump has been threatening. He goes back and forth with tariffs. It's like, now it's going to be 50%. No, it'll be 25%. I mean, how do you budget? How do you look at what you have to spend when it's your budget is a moving target, mm-hmm. depending on the whim of, you know, the person in the White House?
Go ahead, Joe Ferguson.
We have the State of the Union on Tuesday.
Yeah.
So can you give us a preview of who you're bringing to the State of the Union?
So I actually decided not to attend the State of the Union, and I will be watching in my office. I don't think my presence there is going to add anything to what we're going to hear. But what I did ask my now friend, Representative Ilhan Omar, if she had anybody from Minneapolis or the Twin Cities that she'd like to bring as a guest, and she could have my guest pass. And so initially I thought it was going to be Renee Good's family, but I believe that my ticket is going to another individual, which is totally fine. And that's how I'm opting to address that.
Let's talk a little bit about the environment, something your dad fought so hard for. I'm thinking of these reports early in the Trump administration about maybe dismantling some of our national monuments. Mm-hmm. Locally, it would be Ironwood. What are you hearing about conservation right now in D.C.?
It doesn't exist. I mean, I'm sitting on the Natural Resources Committee, and so much of what is coming through is really disregarding NEPA, just devastating all of these environmental protections and gutting the departments that would oversee them. So, you know, I'll give you an example. We mm-hmm. had a subcommittee hearing on deep sea mining.
Right.
There was no other nation exploring deep sea mining because the profits are not guaranteed, that it causes a lot of devastation to the environment, and there's no real net win. It's sort of experimental at this point, but the United States is exploring it. Mm-hmm. So my concern is, like, you know, especially where they're looking to drill, have they consulted, you know, the tribes in the area? Is there any, like, nation to nation conversation if they're sovereign nations? There's no tribal consultation. And so that's something that I continue to bring up. I mean, these are safeguards that we're supposed to protect, especially in that Committee on Natural Resources.
Wasn't your dad the chair of that committee?
He was. Yeah. And he's been ranking member too. So it just depends.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So yeah. When Democrats had the gavel, then mm-hmm. he's the chair. Mm-hmm. When we don't have the gavel and the Republicans do, then you're a ranking member. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so it's only the chair that can bring any conversations to the committee. Mm-hmm. And so I can have a hearing, but if you look at the experts that are brought in, three of those are Republican witnesses and one is a Democrat. Mm. And so sometimes you look and it's all the industry that would benefit from our vote in favor, as opposed to having a balance of witnesses that can speak to some of the concerns sometimes.
There's a lot of concern for folks living south of Tucson about what's going to happen to the Santa Ritas.
Mm-hmm. And Ironwood. I mean, one of the things that I think that we have not learned in Southern Arizona, and that the nation can learn from us, is what happens to our communities once these companies come in, drill. We have slag piles all over the place. I mean, we have, our water is contaminated. Once these areas are destroyed, we can never build them back. Mm-hmm. So let's learn from what has happened here to inform some of the things, and not just here. That's why my dad was pushing Environmental Justice for All, that bill that will hopefully be reintroduced when we have the gavel, with other representatives from communities that have been devastated by environmental pollution. Mm-hmm. And usually they tend to be communities of color that don't have the same sort of advocacy infrastructure that maybe some more wealthy communities do. I don't think it's an accident. I think it's by design that the target of a lot of these environmental polluters are in communities of color.
And you think you will have the gavel pretty soon?
I do. I do. I'm very optimistic. Mm-hmm. I am. I'm very optimistic. What we've seen across the nation is a shift in districts that had 17 points in favor that Trump won overwhelmingly, where Democrats are winning. Mm-hmm. And I do believe very strongly it's because people walked in with this administration thinking that it was going to be, that he was going to be great for our economy. He was going to get the criminals off the streets. It was going to be like the panacea and we were all going to prosper. Well, we're at a year and a couple months in, and I think that that what we're seeing is that there are a very small population of us that are prospering, and they tend to make billions, mm-hmm. and the 99% of us are struggling.
Here's Joe Ferguson from Tucson Agenda.
I just wanted to follow up a little bit about our last conversation. State Lands are looking to sell 160 acres to the mine. I mean, what's the message that we can be sending to Phoenix that this isn't something that this community wants? It doesn't seem like any of our voices are being heard. The board of supervisors came out against this repeatedly, mm-hmm. even when you were on the board, but that land sale still seems to be going forward.
I think we have to organize and continue to push back. I mean, we do see gains. I mean, we're going to see court cases, I'm sure. We're going to see pushback in any way that anyone can think of. And we have to be very vocal to our elected officials and who's representing us that this is not something that we want. Because when you look at the land that they're talking about, the environmental impact for generations will be devastating. And once it's gone. I mean, you look at Patagonia. That is one of the most pristine mm-hmm. ecological environments that exist anywhere in the world.
Mm-hmm. Birders come from all over the world. Yep. Just check it out. Yeah.
So once that's gone, mm-hmm. it's gone. You can't replicate it. Mm-hmm. And so I would hope that we would learn, and I'm going to continue to be as vocal as possible and push back as much as I can. And my hope is that, you know, we can be a cog in the wheel of the sale and delay it until we have some better protections. And advocates at all levels.
What about the Epstein files?
Well, don't you wish we could see them all? I mean, I think, you know, Gnome is in violation.
What came back was like magic marker heaven.
Yeah. Well, but it's interesting what was redacted.
Yeah.
Right? The names of perpetrators were redacted, but identifiable information about survivors was out. We still have not seen all of the files. But we do know that Trump is mentioned a million times. And we see what other nations are doing as a consequence for being mentioned and implicated in those Epstein files. And here in this country, we've done nothing. That no one has been held accountable. And there are many people with a lot of power that need to be held accountable. And these survivors need to finally have justice. What I thought was very telling during that judiciary hearing is, you know, Pam Bondi, she's sitting there, and they've asked all of the survivors to stand up. Mm-hmm. And can you turn around and look at them? They're telling you that they are willing to talk with you. They're willing to tell you their story so there can finally be some justice. And she never even turned around. Mm. And it's like, they're not going anywhere. The only reason that we are here still fighting, the release of these Epstein files is because those survivors are not going to give up and we're going to stand with them. Mm.
Joe, any final thoughts?
I just wanted to see if there was an update. You asked for more information about Noam Chomsky being in those files. Is there an update for our listeners?
No.
And let's explain who Dr. Chomsky is.
Dr. Chomsky, a noted linguist, was found to be mentioned, you know, dozens and dozens of times in there. Mostly his wife was communicating with Mr. Epstein, but they had a home here and they've been communicating ever since they moved to Tucson. You asked for an investigation into, you know, what role he played into that. And right. I was hoping that we'd have some news today, but it sounds like it's been crickets.
No, it's been crickets. And literally every letter of inquiry that we've sent, and usually it's not me individually. I mean, we're pairing up with other representatives and we get nothing back. No information at all. And that's it. It's the lack of transparency and the fact that there's no accountability. None. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't get any information about things. There are real serious, significant violations, human rights violations happening. And this administration doesn't feel like they're accountable to anyone. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you have some of the most influential people in this administration talking about things that are completely unrelated to the question and just gaslighting everyone. It's so obvious. Like, you don't have to be a Democrat or Republican to see that what's happening is not okay. This is not normal. And I want to say that continuously because I want to make sure that we don't get into this frame of mind that, well, oh, it's just something that they do, something Trump says, and it's okay. It's not okay. The statements are racist, vile, and he has to be called out. And we just have to continue to hear from people that perhaps Trump thinks are, you know, influenced by him, that they have to say it's not okay. And there are a handful of Republicans that are doing that in the House of Representatives.
Is there there seems to be sort of an erosion of some of the Republicans who had just been, you know, lockstep with the other Republicans when they vote in Congress. There seems to be erosion going on. Is this something that's happening?
I don't think it's an accident that we have 45 members of Congress that are resigning or they're opting not to run for reelection.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that anybody gets into this thinking that they're going to watch systems that they are invested in, that they think they can improve, but they don't want them destroyed, completely blown up. So when you look at the Department of Education and what's mm-hmm. happening there, that's going to take years mm-hmm. to fix. But they're doing that throughout every department. I mean, one of the reasons why I think that we don't have any accountability is because federal agencies were gutted so horribly mm-hmm. during the DOGE period. And how did they have the authority to do that? Like, there's going to be a lot of consequences. There's going to be a lot of people that have to be called in front of judicial committees after we have the gavel, because there are consequences that need to be.
Adelita Grijalva, always a pleasure. Before we let you go, the big local issue right now, folks are voting on the Regional Transportation Next program. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts?
I'm voting yes on 418 and 419.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that it is a perfect proposition, but I do know that most documents that are a compromise, you don't get everything you want. I do believe it's a regional approach. And as someone who represented the county, there is no other transportation funding available. I do think that will also be devastating for the city of Tucson and for those that support improving our transit system. So I think we move forward, given that we just passed a law that would require over 60% of voters to vote in favor of any tax increase. Mm-hmm. It'll be a hard sell if we don't move forward with the system that we have available and improve it while we're there.
All right. Adelita Grijalva, thanks. Great to see you.
Thank you.
All right. Joe Ferguson, stick around for segment number three. Joe and myself, some thoughts coming up after this.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
The Green Valley News and Sarita's Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita's Sun, covering your hometown.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Food insecurity is a huge challenge in our community. Please consider donating to the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona and Interfaith Community Services. And don't forget our animal friends, supported by the Southern Arizona Food Bank, which makes sure no one ever has to make a choice of feeding their pets or feeding their families. Let's make sure no one goes hungry in Southern Arizona. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Bill Buckmaster here in the driver's seat. Joe Ferguson is here from Tucson Agenda, and we are here every Friday, carrying on the tradition of a daily show that we started a little over 15 years ago. And Joe Ferguson is doing a terrific job with an online service called the Tucson Agenda, which is affiliated with the statewide Arizona Agenda. Joe, it's the Tucson Agenda pretty much sticks to Tucson, and Arizona Agenda is state politics, capital stuff.
Yeah, we're busy right now covering the legislature up in Phoenix. That's been our main focus. And when they're in session, we're very busy making sure we talk about the bills that are coming through and failing, and as well as talking about, well, politics. It's an even number of years, so there's a lot of that going on too.
We will talk about the RTA election in a moment, but NBC News reached out to me yesterday and said, because of I do know Savannah Guthrie pretty well. I knew her early on as she started at the U of A, and I was fortunate enough, Joe, to have her for 4 years on my crew at Arizona Illustrated, where I was there for 22 years hosting Arizona Illustrated. And, you know, that's one of the things I look back over a long career, Joe, that's been so satisfying. These great young people at the time, they're no longer young people, but I was there for 22 years, and a lot of young people came through the program, and they were our crew members. They ran camera, they ran the teleprompter, and Savannah, I was fortunate enough to go out with Savannah on different shoots and kind of tell her how it all worked. And so, you know, I'm very delighted that I was able to mentor her. Well, NBC thought that maybe I could bring sort of a unique perspective to this whole horrible situation, this nightmare that we've had here in Tucson now for almost three weeks. So I will be on with NBC News tonight. If folks are interested, looks like it will be a live interview at 6 o'clock on their platform known as NBC News Now, which is free. You can watch it on your phone, any kind of device, your computer at home, whatever. But and I think one of the things that will come up is Tucson a safe city? Well, it's kind of a very subjective question, isn't it, Joe Ferguson?
It absolutely is, and it really depends on the audience that's it. For a national audience who doesn't understand Tucson, this can look like a horrible tragedy, and many people might wonder if that happens all the time. And I think it's great having somebody like you who's been in our community for so long talking to law enforcement, the Pima County Attorney's Office, regularly to give that kind of perspective on what's really like to live here in town. We know that the Tucson has its share of problems, but kidnappings are not one of them at the end of the day. It's a tragedy.
The bus stop issues that we've had. But I think generally the property crime is what folks are mainly concerned with, right?
Yeah, I think that's I think that's a very big part of it. I think some issues with retail theft is a concern for the business community. And then, you know, I think that, you know, to a extent, our streets are kind of dangerous.
And of course, where I will be doing this live interview tonight will be by the Guthrie home, and that is, of course, the Catalina Foothills, in an upscale area known for its tranquil environment, you know, beautiful homes, but generally low crime.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's just the way it is. The sheriff's has done a great job of controlling crime in that area and being responsive to issues as they pop up, but it's not where we think about crime when we talk about crime in Tucson.
Let's talk a little bit about RTA. Folks are voting right now. Tucson Agenda has a terrific primer right now on what's at stake. You guys really addressed it, really took a deep dive in today's Tucson Agenda, which is very easy to access.
TucsonAgenda.com. You yeah. can read our stories there and sign up to get our newsletter every morning at 6 a.m. for free.
Most folks are saying it's going to be a heavy lift to pass this thing. If it doesn't pass, does it then go back to the cities and jurisdictions to try to worry about their own transportation needs?
I think that, you know, the conversation right now is about RTA next, but I think that there's a lot of people who are working on a plan B. And, mm-hmm. you know, we could see something as early as November where a city or the county could put a half-cent sales tax on their own, trying to move forward to make sure that we don't see interruptions and lose federal funding that is so important to the region.
Mm-hmm. What would the city of Tucson, where they already are working on a 10-year plan, if you've been driving in the city and you live in the city, it seems like every street's got something going on. They would continue, if this were to be defeated, with the 10-year plan. Would they then also put something, you think, separate on a ballot concerning transit?
I really do. I think that there's so much money in transit that's at stake with the RTA next election that you might see a half-cent proposal on the ballot next November, and that would largely solve City of Tucson problems. But, you know, regionally, that doesn't answer what Marana is going to do, Oro Valley is going to do, South Tucson, Sarita, or the county on how they're going to handle it. And so one of the things we brought up today was just the idea that if the city passes a tax, would the county go in the same way? And what would that mean for city residents who are also technically county residents? Mm-hmm. Would they pay twice a tax inside the city limits just for transportation?
We mentioned ICE with Congresswoman Grijalva in our interview a few minutes ago. The Board of Supervisors is taking a look at what can be done here in town to give, I guess, to protect county-owned property from ICE agents just showing up and moving forward?
Yeah, the idea is that, you know, if you're like having some time at Sweetwater Park, or you mm-hmm. are in a library, mm-hmm. or even just at a county building doing county business, you don't want feds just rushing in as right. they have in courthouses and in schools already. Mm-hmm. And so the county is trying to put this boundary in place and say, this is a no-go zone for ICE. And so we're going to see an ordinance next month, and that's expected to pass. The real question is that if there is a hypothetical situation where ICE decides to cross that threshold, how will Pima County respond? Will the sheriff?
Who's going to enforce it?
I mean, and that's what Steve Christie's point is that how is that going to work? And so we're not really sure yet either. But I do think that it's something that the Board of Supervisors are willing to confront.
All right, coming up next week, speaking of the Board of Supervisors, one of our segments will feature Rex Scott. Will be joining us, Pima County Supervisor, Democrat representing District 1, the Tucson Foothill area. And our other interview will be Teresa Cullen. Dr. Cullen will be with us. We'll get an update on how flu season is going. It's one of the worst, Joe, one of the worst flu seasons in about 15 years in the country. We'll find out how it's going here locally.
Yeah, if I can just say, you know, if you are got friends or people are medically compromised, mm-hmm. flu shot's a great idea right now.
It is. All right, again, a quick plug for Tucson Agenda.
So I just, you know, it's free to subscribe. It comes in every morning at 6 a.m. and we cover all of Tucson politics and policies on a daily basis.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you so much.
And again, for folks that are interested, I'll put in my 2 cents tonight on national TV, 6 o'clock on the NBC News platform, which is known as NBC News Now. Pretty easy to access. It's free. And you could even check it out on your device, mobile device, or your phone. So we'll see everybody on TV tonight, I hope. But we've got Weekend Watch. Thanks, Joe, for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
We've got Weekend Watch with 101.7 The Drive. Leslie Lois, tell us about what's happening this weekend.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we make it easy to fly from the moment you arrive.
Hop in. We'll get you from parking to the terminal in no time.
We keep our lines short so you can get to your gate quickly.
Why deal with the big city airport when you can relax with our dining options before your trip?
We'll get you off the gate and into the air fast.
At TUS, we make it easy. Visit flytucson.com. Now with nonstop flights to Portland, Las Vegas, and Salt Lake City.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Check your mailbox for your Pima County ballot to consider Props 418 and 419 for regional transportation improvements and funding for the next 20 years. The proposed RTA Next Plan and funding will fix streets with expansions, repaving, bicycle, pedestrian, and transit upgrades to improve safety for all transportation users. You will continue to pay the same tax rate as you are now if both props are approved. Ballot should be mailed no later than March 3rd to arrive by March 10th. For more plan or election info, visit RTANext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Friday, February 27th at noon, we'll talk with Pima County's Health Director, Dr. Teresa Cullen, and Pima County Supervisor Rex Scott. Then Weekend Watch with 101.7 The Drive on 1030 KVOI The Voice. Always live Fridays at noon at BuckmasterShow.com. Time for Weekend Watch with 101.7 The Drive. Leslie Lois is here. Weekend Watch presented by our good friends over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. It's only about, depending on where you are in the Tucson area, about a three-hour drive east and a terrific time over in that area of the Land of Enchantment. Leslie Lois, what do we got going on this weekend?
Well, I know there's a lot of people that love to do quilting, right? So
sure.
There's a quilt fiesta going on. It started today. It's celebrating 50 years, the Tucson Quilters Guild's 50 years. They're having a quilt fiesta. You can shop hundreds of quilts of vendors and prize-winning quilts are going to be available. It's $10 for one-day admission. This is happening at the Pima County Fairgrounds. That's happening today and tomorrow. You know what's kicking off tomorrow?
What?
Tucson Rodeo.
You got to be kidding.
I know. It's already here.
I can't believe that. President's Day snuck up on me. That's right. I guess it's the end of February.
I know, because the parade is next Thursday.
So it's time for the rodeo. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, this is Tucson Rodeo
Signature
Grounds.
Signature event, yes.
Tickets start at $20. It goes through March 1st, mm-hmm. So definitely want to go check that out. I think this is really cool. If you are interested in seeing some of the Oscar-nominated short films, the animated ones.
Right.
You can see them tomorrow at the Loft Cinemas. They're doing a 2026 Oscar-nominated short films. 2 o'clock tomorrow at Loft Cinemas. It's $12 admission for that. And the weather, I think, will be beautiful tomorrow for Growing Orchard in Tucson. The members of the Tucson Orchard Society are giving out all their secrets and tips for growing orchards in Tucson.
Very cool.
That's happening 10 to 11 tomorrow at the Harlow Gardens over on Pima, and it is free to attend.
Mm-hmm.
And the Drive Tucson is going to be out tomorrow morning at a brand new grand opening of McDonald's over on Valencia and I-10.
Another McDonald's.
I know.
Opening.
But it's kind of cool because the Ronald McDonald House is going to be there. The charity is a great organization. They're going to have mariachi from a local high school there. We're going to be out there from 9 to 11 as well. So good times going on.
Good times coming. Got another quick one.
Yeah. The Lunar New Year's Festival Year of the Horse is happening at the Tucson Chinese Cultural Center over on River Road. It's $5. There's going to be performances, exhibits, food vendors, and a lot more is happening 10 to 6 tomorrow.
We will listen for your wonderful selection of music that you always put together when you do your shift on the drive. I love the drive. Locally, the music that you're hearing, it's not some big computer deal that's programmed back east or somewhere. It's homegrown.
Yes, absolutely.
Leslie Lois, thank you very much. Have
thank
a great
you.
Weekend, Leslie.
Thanks, you too.
All right, the Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Original theme music composed by my German friend, Christophan. Thanks to my assistant, Rosemary Brandt, engineering, Brendan Kraft, engineering and producing. Everybody have a great weekend.